It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios. Welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You all right?
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
And good Wednesday morning, everyone. Fred Jackson sitting in for Sandy today. Sandy is on her way to the CPAC gathering in Washington, D.C. She'll be broadcasting from there tomorrow and I believe on Friday as well. Ought to be very interesting. This will be the first CPAC since President Trump came into office. In fact, he'll be speaking there on Friday morning. And he'll be in a mostly friendly crowd. Although CPAC many times has its own controversies, and Sandy was probably talking about that yesterday with the cancellation of one of the suspected speakers there who is an open homosexual. So it'll be exciting, and Sandy will keep us up to date on that over the next couple of days. In the meantime, if you were expecting a quiet news day today, think again. Just a little bit later this morning, the Trump administration will be rolling back the directive that President Obama put in place, which allowed transgender students access to restrooms and allowing them to participate in school athletics according to their gender identity. In other words, a guy who feels like a girl, I want to play on the girls' sports team and I want to be able to use the girls' washrooms. That has created great controversy across the country. President Obama basically threatening to remove federal funding for schools who didn't go along with this. However, several states have objected to that. And now what is happening is that the Trump administration is going to release this morning their new position on this. Now, the word is that he's going to, as he has done and stated about abortion, he's going to shift things back to the states. In other words, his belief is that the federal government should not be involved in this dispute, that individual states ought to be able to take care of this themselves. So we will see exactly what the wording on that is. You may have heard yesterday that the Trump administration has new travel ban plans that are coming out today as well. That has to do with the 90-day rollback, four-month rollback, roughly, of who comes into this country. Also yesterday, there was the announcement on what's going to be happening with regards to President Trump's promises during the election campaign on border control, who is going to be shipped back, what illegals are going to be shipped back, et cetera, et cetera. And then if that is not enough, a federal judge late yesterday blocked the plan by Texas to cut Planned Parenthood Medicaid funding. So the day is just beginning. All of that, of course, points to where we are in this country. Some people have described it as a civil war. Others, like our next guest, is saying, no, the civil war comparison is not really quite there. Really, what's going on in this country is a second American Revolution. And the man describing it as that is Dr. Richard Land, a good friend of ours here at American Family Radio. He's also president of the Southern Evangelical Seminary. Good morning, Dr. Land.
Good morning.
You're coming from North Carolina, are you today, sir?
I am.
At home in North Carolina. Well, listen.
Yes, sir.
So we have this editorial that came out of Dennis Prager, a talk show host, calling it a civil war, but you say, no, he's got it wrong. You really think this is a second American Revolution. Just explain your point of view on that.
Well, you know, far be it for me to correct Dennis. I have a great deal of respect for Dennis. No, Dennis. Mm-hmm. Well, I just think that there's a better historical analogy than the Civil War. I mean, you know, there weren't a lot of pro-Union people in Mississippi, and there weren't a lot of pro-Confederates in Minnesota. It was really a war between sections of the country, except along a very narrow strip of the border between the two sections. You know, West Virginia seceded from Virginia and became a state during the Civil War because it was pro-Union. And you had actually brother against brother and father against son in places like Tennessee and Kentucky and in Missouri and in Kansas. But in most of the country, it was a war between sections of the country. In the first American Revolution, it really was village by village, hamlet by hamlet, family by family, divided. I mean, Benjamin Franklin's son was a Tory who never spoke to his father again after his father became a revolutionary. And in fact, after the Revolutionary War was lost, he moved back to England. So this, to me, what's happening today, I believe, is that Barack Obama and his progressive supporters tried to have a bloodless second American Revolution, bloodless secularist, socialist, progressivist revolution, and that produced the backlash that is Donald Trump. I agree with Britt Hume, who said, if you really want to describe what is the legacy of Barack Obama, it's Donald Trump. Two words, Donald Trump. And so what has happened is that Donald Trump is the focus of a counter-revolution to fight back against and to push back an attempt at a second American revolution by Barack Obama and his supporters. And the country is very, very divided, both within the government and outside the government. I mean, they're trying to sabotage President Trump from inside the government with these leaks that are illegal. And you see it all across the country. You got 35% of Americans all across the country, concentrated on the coast, but all across the country, who say they want to do everything they can to make America ungovernable. That's not the process we have in this country. And our democratic process really depends on a majority of the people accepting the results of elections until the next election. And clearly, Mr. Obama's supporters and Mrs. Clinton's supporters are not doing so.
Is it too much of a generalization to say that beneath this veneer political ideological divide, it's really spiritual warfare between at least Christian values and those of the progressive left, their values?
Well, it's certainly a struggle between a Judeo-Christian worldview, which is the worldview upon which this nation was constructed. I remember Prime Minister Netanyahu saying that one of the reasons that there's such a close affinity between the United States and the State of Israel is they're the only two countries in the world that were founded on the principles of the Bible. And he's right. And what you have in the progressiveness forces is they may pay lip service to some kind of Christian devotion. I mean, Hillary claims that she's a Methodist. And if I were a Methodist, I'd be offended. John Wesley would be. John Wesley would not recognize Hillary Clinton as a fellow Methodist. But I think that it's clearly a progressivist, secularist worldview that does not believe in the sanctity of unborn human life, which the Christian faith has for over 2,000 years. They don't believe in the sanctity of marriage or a definition of marriage. And in fact, the worldview has very few, if any, absolutes, except that there are no absolutes. Nothing is always right, and nothing is always wrong. And of course, that is a direct contradiction of Christianity and of Holy Scripture.
Dr. Land, even with inside the Christian community, there are a variety of opinions on how Christians are expected, should biblically respond to all of this. You know, some say just get out of the political business altogether and focus on just the gospel. Others saying no, part of being a Christian, being salt and light, are to be involved with politics and to be speaking out on those issues. So where do you come down on this?
Well, you know, there's a lot of talk being made today about this so-called Benedict option, where Christians just say, well, the country's, you know, gone to Hades in a handbasket, and we just need to withdraw and go into monastic communities and preserve the Christian faith until a better day. Well, that's wrong on two counts. First of all, today's secular Visigoths are far more barbaric than the Visigoths were in the 5th century. If we retreat into monasteries, who thinks they're going to let us stay in our monastery? They're coming after us there. Hmm. I mean, they're out to get us. And when they're at war with you, you better be at war with them. But more importantly, Jesus looked at a world that was in turmoil and was corrupt and was in darkness, and he turned to the disciples and he said, "You are to be the salt of the earth, and you are to be the light of the world. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." That means you've got to be close enough. Salt has to touch that which is going to preserve, and the light has to be close enough that you can feel the heat and see the light.
Exactly.
So I don't think there's any way you can be obedient to the command to be salt and light and withdraw from society and withdraw from the public policy process and withdraw from the political process.
Dr. Land, others say we're in the last days. We can expect this spiritual battle / political battle to continue. Do you have some words of encouragement for Christians this morning?
Well, my first word of encouragement is that Jesus said no man knows the hour or the day of his coming. So we don't know. We may be in the last days. We may not be in the last days. But I do know this. I've read the last chapter, and I know who wins.
Amen.
Jesus wins. Jesus is victorious. I had a when I was pastoring a church in the French Quarter of New Orleans when I was a student at New Orleans Seminary, I had a clash with some Satan worshipers who were upset that we were converting their church members into Christians. And they came to church one night, several of them, the local bishop, the local pastor of the Church of Satan. And here I was preaching through the Gospel of John. Well, I made a beeline from the Gospel of John over to the book of Revelation, where our boss throws their boss into the lake of fire.
Hey, listen, I've been reading where you have a seminar coming up. I'm fascinated by it, where you're going to be talking about Islam and other religions and how Christians are to respond to that. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, that's going to be March 4th here on campus at our seminary, and it's part of our Team Approach program, which is our evangelistic arm, to teach people and to train people on how they can most effectively reach people of other faiths and of cults with the gospel. And we're having some very, very good folks from our campus and from other places come in, and it's going to be an all-day training session. We are an apologetic seminary, a Southern Evangelical Seminary, and if people want more information about us, they can go to scs.edu and get that information. We want to prepare people to defend the faith and to win the argument. But most importantly, we want to win the person. And so, our twin goals are apologetics and global evangelism.
Amen. Amen. Dr. Richard Land, thank you so much for joining us. We sure appreciate it, sir.
Well, thank you, and God bless AFR. I don't know where we would be in this country today if we hadn't had AFR to inform the people of God about what's really going on.
Amen. Thank you for that very much, sir. We'll be talking to you again soon.
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye. Hey, listen, speaking along the lines of what Dr. Richard Land was just talking about there, the spiritual battle out there, I had the pleasure, the blessing last night of being at a gathering where the Benham brothers were speaking. And my goodness, what a treat that was. They were speaking on behalf of what we have here in our local area, Parkgate. And Parkgate is a ministry to help women who are considering abortions. And I tell you what, the Benham brothers see that as part of the larger spiritual battle that we're just talking about with Dr. Land. And we got to be out there, we got to be loving, but we have to be bold in our standing. Amen. All right, when we come back, much more ahead. As I say, it is a busy news day ahead. Coming up a little bit later this morning, we're going to have another directive coming out of the Trump administration dealing with the controversy over transgenders' use of bathrooms, particularly for schools. We're going to talk a little bit more about that when we come back. Fred Jackson sitting in for Sandy Rios. We're back in just a few moments.
These days, health insurance is incredibly expensive, especially if you don't have coverage through your employer.
If you're concerned about the costs or the ethical dilemmas of insurance, here's great news. There's an affordable, God-honoring alternative. It's called MediShare. Unlike insurance, MediShare is a Christian healthcare sharing community whose members share each other's medical expenses. It's about half the cost of insurance, and it's fully acceptable under the law. Best of all, you never pay for things that go against your beliefs. If you're a Christian looking for a truly affordable healthcare solution, MediShare is just what the doctor ordered.
Learn how thousands of Christians can help you save on your healthcare. For your free information guide, call 855-PSALM-23. Not available in Montana. MediShare, affordable biblical healthcare. Call 855-PSALM-23. That's 855-PSALM-23.
Hello, I'm Ed Vitagliano, co-host of Today's Issues each weekday morning on American Family Radio. I'm also Executive Vice President of American Family Association, the parent ministry of AFR. I just want to welcome the many new listeners to the AFR family as we have expanded into several new areas over the past 6 months. Who pays for AFR to stay on the air, you might be asking? Well, the answer is simple. AFR depends on our listeners to make financial contributions so that we can keep our radio stations on the air. If you appreciate the news, talk, information, and inspiration that you receive from AFR each day, we ask that you remember us financially when funds allow. You can make a donation at AFR.net or by calling 800-FAMILIES extension 2. That's AFR.net or 800-FAMILIES. Please keep us in your prayers as we continue to impact America for Christ.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Stearns with this Fox News and commentary next.
Truett McConnell University.
My name is Dr. Robert Bowen. I am the Dean of Science, Technology, Engineering, and Mathematics, and I'm an Associate Professor of Physiology. So one of the benefits of being a faculty member at TMU is not only are we allowed to speak the gospel in the classroom and within our areas of discipline, we're encouraged to do so. Everybody needs to know the love of Christ. And so I try to incorporate in my classes, and one of the places that I incorporate in the most is in my office when I have students come in.
Are you called? Visit truett.edu today.
The headline in Washington State's News Tribune was incredibly misleading. He was the victim in a car crash. Now he could end up getting deported. That was the headline. But it turns out there was more to the story. The guy's name is Armando Chavez Corona. A state trooper discovered Mr. Corona was living in our nation illegally. Not only that, he was a deported felon. He had been convicted of a drug charge, deported, by the way, 4 times to Mexico. Yet somehow Mr. Corona kept showing back up on the wrong side of the border. The good news is this very bad guy is now back in the custody of the feds. But the state trooper who detained Mr. Corona is now under investigation. Turns out the Washington State Patrol has a policy of not detaining people based on their immigration status. And you wonder why Donald Trump is in the White House. I'm Todd Starnes.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
And welcome back to Sandy Rios in the morning. Fred sitting in for Sandy today. As I mentioned off the top of the program, Sandy on her way to the CPAC gathering in Washington, D.C. She'll be broadcasting from there tomorrow and on Friday. Always some interesting speeches there. And, of course, this is the first CPAC gathering since Donald Trump was elected president, and President Trump will be speaking to the gathering there on Friday. Well, in the meantime, the Trump administration yesterday, among other things, announcing that they are going to give new directives publicly on where they stand with regards to the Obama directive when it comes to schools across the country and how they must handle transgenders, in particular bathroom use. And it's just hard to believe it's become known as the bathroom bills and the bathroom directives. You know, I know I'm getting on in years, but back when I was growing up, and it, you know, my 20s and 30s, someone had projected that there would be a debate over what washrooms boys can use, what washrooms girls can use, and changing rooms, etc., it would have just sounded so bizarre. And for a lot of us, it still does. Basic biology, folks, without going into details, you have one sex born with one set of equipment and one sex born with another set of equipment. One of the most ridiculous things that I have seen recently, and this came from an Associated Press story, and trying to apply every degree of political correctness to the story, it was about a girl who has decided she wants to be a boy. And the story goes on to reference the girl in terms of pronouns using male, another he, his. Well, this girl who wants to be a boy, the story was suing a Catholic hospital who refused, and this is the way the story read, who refused to remove his uterus. All right, now just stop and think about that for a second, folks. This is the way the story read, that Jane, who wanted to be considered Joe, was suing the Catholic hospital because it wanted to remove his uterus. This is how silly it's become. Anyway, today, the Trump administration, again going back to some of the election campaign statements that were made, is apparently going to take the Obama directive, which basically was a threat to school districts across the country, that unless they allowed students to use the bathroom of their choice, so-called gender identity, however you feel today, use that bathroom, that he's going to refer that back to the states. In other words, individual states could then decide how they're going to apply this. So it would end a federal directive. Washington Post says it has received a copy of this, and this letter is supposed to be released today. The letter states that the directive has given rise to significant litigation, and administrators, parents, and students struggle to understand and implement the Obama administration's guidance. And according to Fox News, the White House will insist that schools must protect all students, and the undoing of the directive, quote, does not diminish protections, end quote, available to all students. So we will keep an eye on that for you today. Now, the other thing that was announced yesterday was an expansion on some of the things that we already know on the Trump administration's approach to securing our border and how to deal with illegals already in this country. And here's a report to kind of summarize it all from John Roberts at Fox News.
Good evening to you. Almost a month ago, President Trump signed two executive orders, one on improving border security, the other cracking down on illegal immigrants. Today, the Department of Homeland Security unveiled its plans for how it will all get done.
In the election campaign, President Trump repeatedly promised he would put thousands more agents along the border and hire even more personnel to enforce immigration laws. Today, the Department of Homeland Security announced it was beefing up its forces with an additional 10,000 immigration and customs enforcement agents and another 5,000 people in the Border Patrol.
We have to have a safe country. We have to let people come in that are going to love the country.
The plan will end the Obama-era program of so-called catch and release and restore the Secure Communities program, where anyone arrested will be checked against an immigration database. Criminal illegal aliens would be prioritized for deportation. It will also enlist more local law enforcement to target illegal immigrants and begin immediate planning, design, and construction of a border wall, beginning with areas near El Paso, Texas, Tucson, Arizona, and El Centro, California, where old landing mat fence is obsolete.
Most critically, the president is empowering DHS to carry out the immigration laws currently on the books.
The ACLU immediately rejected the plan, saying, quote, the Trump administration is willing to trample on due process, human decency, the well-being of our communities, and even protections for vulnerable children in pursuit of a hyper-aggressive mass deportation policy.
And still ahead at the White House this week, the president's new executive order on extreme vetting, the so-called immigration ban. Attorneys here at the White House, the Department of Justice, and DHS are putting the finishing touches on it. What's unclear at this point, though, is whether the president will rescind his original executive order, as court papers said he would, or if he'll continue to fight that case in district court in Seattle at the same time he puts out the new order.
So there you have it. Let's deal first with the border issue. as Donald Trump, then candidate Donald Trump, promised during the election campaign. He's going to build that wall, and he's going to deal with the people who are in this country illegally. Now, according to what was announced yesterday, part of that plan to make our borders more secure, I don't know if you remember some of the video that came out during the Obama years, where you had illegals using Sea-Doos to bring people across, I guess, the Rio Grande River, and then going back and just bringing people across. I mean, we saw these videos. One of the most incredible videos was a group of illegals, and they built a ramp over a low area of the wall and actually drove a vehicle over the top of the wall. Now, this is what President Trump is addressing, folks. It was really the joke when it comes to the security of our southern border in particular. And so he's dealing with that, going to hire 10,000 more border guards, and then 5,000 on top of that to deal with immigrant officers. So going to deal with the influx first, stopping the influx of illegals, but also simultaneously dealing with those who have entered this country illegally and have committed other crimes since coming here. They've made that very clear. That's who the initial target is, at least, is sending those people back and ensuring that they don't come back in again. Pretty simple stuff. Pretty basic stuff. That's what they're up to. But, of course, if you're listening to the mainstream media, and you're going to see, here's what you're going to see, folks. You're going to see an increasing number of stories where families on this side of the border are facing hardship because a dad, a brother, parents, or whatever the case may be, are being sent back. And I think we have an administration that is going to carry us over that emotional impact, those kinds of stories that you're going to see. The kinds of stories that you're not going to see in the mainstream media are those with people from border communities who have been so negatively impacted over the years. Those who have been the victims of crimes by illegals. You're not going to see those kinds of stories out there. But Donald Trump, President Trump, is going to be dealing with, again, making good on an election promise to make the country safe again. Now, there is still the question, and there's a divide with even inside the conservative community, of what to deal with, well, as President Obama called it, the dreamers, those who came into this country as kids illegally, what to do with them, what to do with some kids who are born here, they're citizens, but their parents may have entered the country illegally. That is still fuzzy. And as I say, within the conservative community, within the Christian community, there's a bit of a divide on that. We'll have to wait and see. My guess is that there's going to be some kind of intermediate program of some type that will show, and I use the words of some who say show compassion, but there are others who say, you know, these people ought to be held accountable. Even if the kids were born on this side of the border, they're citizens of this country. If mom and dad came in illegally, mom and dad should be sent back also. So that is a debate still within, as I say, the conservative community. We will see what happens. But President Trump apparently making good again on a promise to secure that border. How quickly this is all going to happen, that's another part of the debate. How long is it going to take to build that wall? You're going to hire 10,000 more border security people. You just don't go out and find 10,000 people quickly. So that is, it's going to take some time. Now, the other story we want to talk about this morning, then we're going to go to our phones, 888-589-8840, is that a federal judge yesterday in Texas has blocked the state's plan to cut Planned Parenthood Medicaid funding. And this story from The Hill, the federal judge on Tuesday halted a Texas plan to cut off funding for Planned Parenthood from the state's Medicaid program. U.S. District Judge Sam Sparks' preliminary injunction preserves what Planned Parenthood contends are funds to provide cancer screenings, birth control access, and other health services for nearly 11,000 low-income women, that according to the AP. Texas originally sought to scrap Planned Parenthood Medicaid funds in January, but Sparks asked the state to wait until he issued a decision. And we have a reaction this morning already from Ken Paxton, the Attorney General of Texas. Paxton set promises to continue his fight to protect the unborn and Texas taxpayers after the judge made this ruling. He says today's decision is disappointing and flies in the face of basic human decency. The raw, unedited footage from undercover videos exposed, and those are the videos, remember, that came out last year, showing Planned Parenthood officials negotiating and talking about selling the parts of these babies who have been aborted. That's what Attorney General Paxton is referring to. The raw, unedited footage from undercover videos exposed a brazen willingness by Planned Parenthood officials to traffic in fetal body parts, as well as manipulate the timing and method of an abortion. Even the remains of most vicious criminals are treated with respect, but the children, he says, who never had a chance at life become so-called medical waste, or alternatively, a commodity to be bartered for. And he says no taxpayer in Texas should have to subsidize this repugnant and illegal conduct. We should never lose sight of the fact, he says, that as long as abortion is legal in the United States, the potential of these types of horrors will continue. And as I say, he is promising Attorney General Paxton to keep the appeals up. It is just ludicrous, I believe, in this country that taxpayers, because of a federal judge, are being forced to continue to pay for the slaughter of unborn babies. And we are thankful there are attorney generals like Ken Paxton who are willing to fight this. 888-589-8840. So your thoughts this morning on the new directive that is coming out from the Trump administration with regards to transgender debate over bathroom use. Again, the Obama administration put a threat out there. He was going to cut off federal funding to schools that didn't allow a boy or a girl to use the bathroom of their choice, so-called their own gender identity versus the sex that is on their birth certificate. All right, so that's coming out today. The speculation is Trump administration is going to say the states have the right to figure this out themselves, state by state. And then you have the directive that's coming out also on the border. We are supposed to get some more news today on the vetting process for refugees coming into this country, a kind of reworked plan given what happened with the courts shooting down the first executive order from President Trump. And this new order apparently will give a pass to people in those seven countries that were named who have green cards or who have had visas already processed and approved prior to the executive order. And now this federal judge's decision in Texas that is going to force Texas taxpayers to continue to pay Planned Parenthood with Medicaid funds for things like abortion. All right, 888-589-8840 is the number to call. Let's go to our phones right now, and let's go first to Tennessee and Shirley. Shirley, good morning to you.
Good morning. Thank you so much for taking my call. I just wanted to say I have prayed and prayed and I'm fasting, believing God to send his Holy Spirit angel to go against Obama, Soros, and all the rest of these people, the 32 plus the 32 other thousand that they're training right now with resistance. I'm praying that Jesus will send his holy angels to stand up against them and set up his standards. All that they do shall fail and not prosper. In Jesus' name, we claim it by the Holy Ghost, Jesus Christ, down from heaven.
We have to go to a break here. And yes, we continue to pray. We continue to pray for President Trump and his administration that he would have wisdom in what he does. Because as we were talking to our first guest today, Dr. Richard Land, this is part of a larger spiritual battle. You're listening to the show, Sandy Rios in the Morning. Fred sitting in for Sandy. Much more ahead. 888-589-8840 is the number to call. We're back in just a few moments.
We are not allowed to have a U-Haul that comes to heaven with us.
Anna Marie Travers has an AFA Foundation charitable gift annuity.
The Lord has given us things that we can acquire, but you know, everything will stay here, and I'm so thankful for the American Family Annuity Fund, where we can give some to something that we so highly value.
Through the AFA Foundation, a charitable gift annuity provides a monthly income as well as a legacy of support for the American Family Association.
I cannot recommend a better person than they have at AFA to help you with getting your annuity fund. It was so easy.
Call the AFA Foundation today to find out how you can set up a charitable gift annuity. Just call 800-326-4543, extension 345.
Is God calling you to pursue theological graduate education? What's keeping you from taking the first step? Is it time? What if you could choose from flexible class options? Is it money? What if competitively priced seminary offered academic scholarships? Do you think you're alone? What if your classmates were just like you, balancing careers and families with seminary? Hello, I'm Dr. John Nyhoff, president of Wesley Biblical Seminary in Jackson, Mississippi. Take the first step. Visit wbs.edu.
If you've ever felt disappointed about how an argument with your spouse ended, be sure to tune in to the next Focus on the Family. Dr. Emerson Eggerich will explain how both men and women can end a disagreement gracefully, finding common ground. Help and hope for every marriage next time on Focus on the Family with Jim Daly.
Focus on the Family is heard each weekday morning at 5 o'clock Central on American Family Radio.
We desperately need the light of the gospel to shatter the darkness that is sweeping through our land.
Evangelist Sammy Tippett for Fusion, the Heart Cry for Revival Conference.
We're asking Christian leaders to join us in seeking God for a mighty work of His Spirit in this critical hour. I've seen God transform entire nations, places like Romania, where God dispelled the darkness of atheism through the prayers of His people. I want to share with you how God did that and what He can do in our nation. So join me at the Heart Cry for Revival Fusion Conference.
Sponsored in part by American Family Association. The Fusion Conference will be April 23rd through the 27th in the Billy Graham Training Center at The Cove in Asheville, North Carolina. Register at heartcryforrevival.org.
This is Frank Affney with the Secure Freedom Minute. Among the most important planks of Donald Trump's winning platform last year was his commitment to replace the Obama strategy of embracing and empowering Sharia supremacists with one aimed at defeating them. The outlines of the Trump approach were laid out in a major address the Republican nominee delivered on August 15th. Mr. Trump explicitly called for countering Sharia, the totalitarian and anti-constitutional ideology that animates the enemies he described as radical Islamic terrorists. He promised to stop admitting such foes into our country, a step being reaffirmed with a revised executive order on immigration and refugees. He also vowed to end the willful blindness that has enabled networks in our society that support radicalization. The Muslim Brotherhood is the prime mover behind those networks. The prompt implementation of these commitments must be a top priority for the president's new national security advisor. This is Frank Affney.
Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
And we are back to Sandy Rios in the morning. Fred Jackson sitting in for Sandy. Just before we go back to our phones, want to play you a report about an arrest made yesterday, a court appearance actually, of a man in Columbia, Missouri. I want you to listen closely to this. He's been arrested on terrorism-related charges. You're going to hear, the voice of the reporter, Sandy Kozel, but you're also going to hear the neighbors of this man who was arrested. So those will be the voices that you're going to hear in this report. But have a listen to their testimony about the guy who's been arrested. And he has converted to Islam. He's 25 years old. And this investigation has been going on for months. So it goes back beyond when President Trump was elected. It goes back to the Obama administration. But have a listen to what the neighbors have to say about him, and yet what the FBI is now saying about him. So here's that report.
A Columbia, Missouri man is charged with helping to plan a President's Day terror attack in Kansas City. Robert Lorenzo Hester Jr. was arrested Friday after meeting with an undercover FBI agent he allegedly thought was an Islamic State sympathizer.
No way. It's not. What the as much as I support the police and whatnot, I said there's no way this is going on. Not in our neighborhood.
Hester, a Missouri-born U.S. citizen, is a 25-year-old Army veteran and married with two children. His neighbors are shocked.
Still stuttering. I'm still just shocked. Just like, for real? Over here? On this block? Wow! This is my reaction when he was telling me that, and I'm still like that now.
No possible way. Not Robert Jr. No way. He's a loving father. He's a loving husband. He plays with his kids. He's out here in the front yard with him. Helps keep an eye on all the other kids here in the neighborhood.
Federal officials began investigating Hester last year after receiving tips that he had converted to Islam and expressed hatred for the U.S. on social media. Sandy Kozel, The Associated Press.
All right. What I found fascinating about that is that this guy who's been arrested, and again, he has been charged. He has to go through a trial, due process. But as I say, the investigation's been going on for some time. And the arrest finally had to be made because he was planning, according to the FBI, this attack on Monday of this week. So the FBI sees one side of this man, the suspect. But you hear what the neighbors say. He's the nicest guy in the world. You know, he's out playing with his kids and takes care of the other kids. There's just no way he could be involved with this sort of thing. And I think, again, if the allegations of the FBI are true, you can see the dangers that we are in today, in that somebody can appear, whether it's an illegal immigrant who has come across the border, he may be a nice guy to his neighbors, helpful in all of those sorts of things, but you never know what's going on the other side. And very often in the mainstream media, you only get the story of the nice guy on the street, just as you heard that reporter who talked to those neighbors of his. But the FBI authorities see something entirely different. We live in very dangerous times. We live in times when people can be extremely deceptive. And you go back to San Bernardino. You go back to Fort Hood. The individuals who carried out those acts, most people said, you know, just regular neighbors, never suspected anything. And this is why we have to remain vigilant and support our authorities who we pay to go out and investigate these kinds of things. 888-589-8840, the number to call. Let's go back to our phones. And Kelly is on the line from Ohio. Good morning, Kelly.
Good morning. How are you?
Doing well. Go ahead, sir.
Hey, about the illegal immigrants, you said they can't come up with a solution to some of the parents who are here illegally. And, you know, it's understandable that that would be detrimental to a family having kids here legally and the parents came illegally. But it seems simple to just give them the opportunity to become legal, wouldn't it? I mean, give them a certain deadline to fulfill their requirements and then all would be well. I mean, that just seems simple. Maybe I'm missing something.
No. And that's, yeah, as I say, there are a couple of thoughts on how to handle those situations, and what you just outlined is one of those. But there are those who say, no, the parents entered this country illegally, and therefore they should be, you know, held accountable for that, go back and start all over again. But as I say, there are others who say, no, what are you going to do with the kids, especially if they're young and mom and dad are being sent back? So two schools of thought on that, and the Trump administration so far is not willing to tell us what they plan to do in that situation. They're simply right now dealing with those who have entered the country illegally and they have committed other crimes, felons, while they're here. Those are the front end of the target. That's all we know at this point. Tom in Oklahoma, good morning, sir. Go ahead.
Good morning, Fred. Thank you very much for taking my call. Mm-hmm. I can't imagine what it's like for the people down in Texas and Arizona and New Mexico who are living on the border and the government has really thrown them under the bus by not controlling the situation. Aside from the danger factor that we have, these people have no voice, and I really thank the Lord that Donald Trump is there, and somebody is standing up and doing what's right for a change.
You're exactly right, Tom. It's about time that their story was heard and that their concerns were acted upon. And I don't believe there is another even Republican candidate who probably would have reacted the way that President Trump is reacted. And also, President Trump, in the face of huge criticism, most of the mainstream media against almost everything that he's doing, but also divide even within the Republican Party on this. But President Trump has shown a resolve to make good on the promises he made to the American people, which is why I believe that despite all the negative stories out there about what's going on within the Trump administration and his actions thus far, you see polls such as Rasmussen, I believe last week came out, he still has a 55% approval rate out there, even among some people who may have voted against him. They at least appreciate that he is carrying out his election promises. Good morning, Joel in Ohio. Welcome to Sandy Rios in the Morning. Go ahead.
Hi, Fred Jackson. I called in because I wanted to comment on the Texas ruling about they have to keep giving their money to Planned Parenthood.
Yes, sir.
Tax dollars. Here in Ohio, I was listening to news this morning. Now, I heard that the Columbus City Council, I'm calling from Powell, which is north of Columbus.
Okay.
The Columbus station said that they're trying to ban gay therapy or gay, was it the gay transition or gay therapeutic therapy?
Yes, sir. Yeah, I know what you mean.
Here in Ohio. So, what are we to do as Christians? Because I mean, we're being forced to pay for this. We're being forced to, support it and pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what are we supposed to do?
Well, yeah, I think what you're referring to, Joel, and we appreciate your question, is reparative therapy. And in some jurisdictions, they are outlawing that taxpayer-funded, counseling to help people who are struggling with this issue. And there are some jurisdictions that are saying we're not going to pay for it because that would be discrimination. And so that battle is continuing. And I think the best thing, Joel, that you can do is make your feelings known, whether it's at a city level. So make your feelings known to your city councilor, but also talk about it within your church, within your Sunday school class, within your small group study, so that these kinds of things, and again, going back to our conversation with Dr. Richard Land earlier, part of being salt and light in this world is to bring attention to these kinds of issues, which is what we hope to do each day here at American Family Radio. All right, let's head over to Alabama this morning, and Becky's on the line. Becky, go ahead.
Yes, I received a form to fill out from a certain agency in the government, and it had a lot of questions on it, and you were supposed to answer. And one of the questions was if you think we need improvement in any of these areas to mark them. And there was about 15 or 20 of them, and it was immigration, and it was abortion, and it was debt, and it was just all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought, I marked two or three of them. I marked every one of them. There wasn't one of them we didn't need help in.
Mm-hmm.
And I was sitting there after I'd marked them, and I was going, golly, I marked all of them. And the Lord spoke to me, and there was a little line underneath him that said comments. And he said, write on that line to support Israel.
Yes.
And to support Israel and pray for the peace of Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm.
And then he said, the peace of Jerusalem is my son, is Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, you do those comments, and all of those others I'll take care of. And I thought that was so interesting. I think, sometimes we just need to know that God's got us, that he loves us, he cares for us, and he's got the answers. He had all of those answers in one answer. And he's like, support Israel and pray for the peace of Jerusalem.
Amen, Becky. We appreciate that. Well, it always goes back to Genesis chapter 12, doesn't it? Those verses 1 through 3, that God will bless those who bless Israel, and he will curse those who curse Israel. And I think one of the reasons God has blessed this country down through the years is its support of the nation of Israel. going all the way back to 1948, when the President of the United States became one of the first to support the recreation of the State of Israel. And I think that support has been in jeopardy over the last 8 years under the Obama administration, and I don't think there's much argument. It was a very hostile relationship that President Obama had with Israel. And again, going to that deal that Obama made with Iran. And you may have heard the news on Sunday at this meeting in Iran, where once again the Iranian leader basically said Israel needs to be wiped off the face of the earth and called Israel's history a dirty chapter in the history of mankind. And so that was one of the reasons a lot of people shook their heads when the Obama administration made that deal with Iran, which is a sworn enemy. They want Israel blown off the face of the earth. But thankfully, we now have an administration that, at least so far, in what we have seen, and what was demonstrated in the visit last week of Prime Minister Netanyahu to Washington, you saw a totally, totally different relationship between Prime Minister Netanyahu and President Trump and what you saw with President Obama. So we are thankful for that. We only hope that that continues. All right. I think we have time for one or two more calls. We'll go up to Virginia. And Mary, good morning, Mary.
Good morning, and I want to say thank you for all that you do.
Thank you.
And I, you know, I agree with what President Trump is doing, you know, with the border and, you know, trying to keep, you know, trying to get the illegals out that have committed criminals. I don't live in Richmond, but I live close to the Richmond area, and I know that Richmond had been on TV saying that they supported the sanctuary cities and stuff, which I'm totally against. There's a lot of murders and stuff in Virginia. I mean, every day it's like two or three, and, you know, I don't think the news, the media reports everything that's going on with these murders, you know.
You're right, Mary. You're exactly
because
right.
They're not letting us know if these are criminals, illegal criminals. They're hiding that fact when you see that. But I mean, I'm totally for what President Trump is doing, and I think he's doing a fine job.
I think so, too, and I think the nation is coming to appreciate it, at least those who voted for him, that the fact that he is not going to be deterred by the mainstream media's continuing attacks. We were talking in the newsroom yesterday. I think the mainstream media is finally getting the message. They can hound President Trump. They can say all kinds of nasty things about him, but he is of the character that it's water off a duck's back, and he is there. You know, he's a billionaire. He doesn't need this job. He really doesn't. He's come in, and you have to take the man at his word. He really believes that he needed to run for the presidency in order to fix the problems that he saw. And there were a whole bunch of people in this country, enough to elect him, who agreed with him and said, you know what, this is the one. And even amongst evangelical Christians who may have had other choices initially in who they wanted to support, but finally this is the one, Donald Trump, who is, we believe, is going to make good on his word. And as Donald Trump's people say, make America great again. But let's not, as has been warned many times, many people prayed leading up to Election Day. We must continue to pray for wisdom for President Trump. Must continue to pray for his salvation, those members of his family. We're thankful for those Christians who surround him. Gotta run. We'll see Sandy back tomorrow.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.